we have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four! I didn't think you was going to be this good, but it feels good!
First, I need the national championship.
Welcome on in, everyone, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh, Johnny, and Sam. And oh boy, I didn't expect this. I did not expect to be doing a postseason wrap-up podcast here on March 24th. I expected us to be talking about our Sweet 16 matchup. I expected us to be talking about excitement, anticipation for the second weekend of the tournament. But it's funny how sports will rip your soul out time and time again here, being an Illinois fan. It's such fun. I guess to the same tune of Robert and Tyler's little post-mortem therapy session, we'll kind of have our own. We didn't really talk much beforehand about what we're going to necessarily talk about. We're just going to kind of riff and talk about how we're feeling. We have let the dust settle a little bit, you know, 3+ days after the game here, but obviously we're still feeling it. Let's just start with a simple question. Like, where does this rank on all-time worst losses in terms of how you felt after a sporting event?
I mean, I guess for me, worst one's probably losing against UNC 2005. That was just your heart gets taken out there. Then maybe like Bears Super Bowl, or I think number three is probably this one now.
Is the double doink on there?
The double doink's on the short list, but I think this one was worse personally.
It was bad. It was bad. If I had to be honest with you, and I know our Illinois listenership is not going to like this, I do think just because of the way in which it happened so slowly this game that I had time to be like, oh, we are losing. There's something about the double doink that was so poignant and so brash, and it happened all in one moment that to me just sank me to a lower place. So I think those are easily in the top two.
See, I think for me, it's just any college loss hurts a little more when you know you never get to see some of those players on the court ever again.
Right.
So
right.
I know that was a knife when the ball doesn't go in the field goal and you're seeing them say no good, but just watching that unfold and seeing, oh my God, we're never going to see Iota Sumu in an Illinois jersey ever again. That's crushing.
We never got to see Cody Parkey again.
Good
morning, America.
We didn't, but I could also convince myself at the time I was clearly wrong, but I was like, okay, the Bears are going to be back next year. We've got Khalil Mack. We've got everyone else, but knowing this is Iowa's last game, knowing this is probably Kofi's last game, this is probably Trent's last game, it hurts so much. And knowing that we don't get another opportunity, it just stings so much.
How about you, Josh? Where does this rank amongst all of your losses? I know you don't quite follow all of the same teams that we do, but where does this rank amongst the worst of the worst?
Yeah, I would probably put this as, I think it might be number one. I've tried really hard to think of another one, and I didn't have a Super Bowl. I didn't have a double doink for my favorite football team. So, like, it's fine on as we all thought we were going to win. Johnny saying about Io and Kofi, we're never going to see him again, it kind of hit me again, and I just got really depressed. But that's the truth. Like, we followed these kids' recruitments. We were there with them the whole entire time. And now we just don't get really the last 3-4 months, last 2-3 years, but we don't have a Final Four. We get a Big Ten championship, which is obviously exciting, but we don't have a second weekend in this tournament, a third weekend. It's probably number one for me.
And I think that's what stings so much, is knowing that that round of 32 loss is always going to be attached to Iota Sumu's legacy. I mean, we're super proud of the Big Ten championship, going 19-4 in the Big Ten this year. It just, Io deserved more than being attached to, but he only went into the second round, because you know we're going to have those debates for the rest of our lifetimes of best Illini ever. And to me, that list for us starts with Iota Sumu. And when you can say, oh, well, he only went to the second round, like, that's just so frustrating, and I just feel helpless that he didn't get better than a Sweet 16. And that's why, like, we can talk about it a little later. Some people are like, oh, well, Loyola being underseeded didn't matter. Where Illinois were supposed to win if we want to win a national championship. Like, national championship was the goal, but at the same time, it wasn't the end-all, be-all. And even saying this team was Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, having that on Io's resume really mattered to me and mattered a lot for our program being back on the map and making the progress that we needed.
I mean, you hear the introduction that we had to this podcast at the end where Io goes, first, I need that national championship. And that was honestly one of the first things that I thought about after the game. It's like, damn, like, he's not going to get that national championship. And all the legacy talk, I mean, we will talk about legacy talk for Io DeSumo for years to come. And I think that there's obviously going to be an extreme recency bias where people are only going to remember the last game, in which, quite frankly, I think it was arguably like the worst or second worst game of his career. You go back, how many games exactly was it that he didn't score double figures?
Yeah, I don't know the exact game total, but it was 441 days. It was January 5th, 2020. Right. We went 30-9 in the Big Ten in that stretch. I mean, he carried us average. I mean, first team All-American. Like, everyone knows what Io did and how that is just so unfortunate that he had a bad day to have a bad day. And while that happened, Trent goes 1-for-10. And on the same side, we can't stop Loyola defensively second half. It was just a perfect storm.
Like you said, a perfect storm. And look, I'm still going to call it an upset, obviously. It was the perfect storm for an upset. It's exactly what you need. You need an extremely good coach coaching an extremely talented older team. You need your studs to have a bad day. Io had a historically bad day. Trent had a historically bad day. Kofi had a terrible day. An inability to adjust by the opposing team. It seemed like Brad, we can get into this, you know, where the blame sort of lies in this. I think Brad really probably needs to shoulder a lot of this blame, being blunt about the loss here in terms of just their inability to adjust on the pick and roll and just going with what was not working. And even with 5 minutes left in the game, they seemed like they just couldn't abandon what wasn't working. But the legacy talk, it's interesting because nationally that's how people will remember Io. But as Illini fans, like, we'll remember everything else. We'll remember, you know, him being in the Nike store. Remember him triple doubles. We'll remember, you know, buzzer beater wins against Michigan, against all these teams. But there's just going to be an extreme recency bias going on right now. And it was just the worst possible day to have a bad day. And it was just the perfect storm for Loyola. And of course, credit to them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll remember everything. I don't think Io's just going to be defined by this round of 32 game. But there's always going to be that butt in his resume, and that I just am so sad that we have to compromise part of his career when you compare him against D or you compare him against Nick Anderson or Kendall Gill and say, well, but Io only went to the second round.
Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Go, Sam. We're in like four time zones right now. This is just a lot. Go, Sam, then Josh.
I was going to say, I think people just have to remember that, like, you know, our 30-9 record, I think it is, since Io started in the Big Ten or whatever it is, and we were 24-6 this year. The NCAA tournament isn't really designed to reward the best teams. It's designed to create chaos, which is why if you look at the Sweet 16 now, it's kind of a cluster, you know what? So it does suck kind of that, you know, we got sort of screwed on the seeding. Like, yes, Illinois should beat Loyola, but it's college basketball. These things happen. And so I think it kind of just sucks that, you know, there's no margin for error. This team lost their tournament opportunity last year. I think that kind of fits into the narrative of the team in general, but just stinks that, like, this team had one opportunity and literally could lose zero games, to kind of achieve everything that this has been building up to.
And I think that's a very nuanced take, and I totally agree with you. It's just difficult to have that conversation sometimes. And I think Illinois beats Loyola 7 times out of 10. And that's why everyone's really harping on Underwood. He didn't do a great job, but at the same time, if this is like an NBA playoff series, like, I'm very confident Illinois would have won.
It's just one game. Yeah.
But that's what sucks, is the tournament is designed to
rip your soul out, my God. I mean, this is the first, again, I've only been a fan since I arrived in Champaign freshman year in 2013, it's the first time. My God, it was almost more fun when my team wasn't in. I can just enjoy upsets. This just rips your heart out, and it shoves it back in upside down. Josh, go ahead.
I don't know about you guys, but I didn't watch one game of the tournament post our game. Couldn't like grow a pair to watch any of the other games. But I saw, and also I didn't really go on Twitter that much. I saw another podcast, like a national, I think it was Stool Bench Mob. They tweeted out Io's post locker room celebration of the Big Ten championship, where he's imitating Kobe. And he said, "You're really going to post those pictures and then you lose to Loyola?" Like, that's not his legacy. It's going to be attached to him, but it's just so annoying that Io can't, like, prove anyone else wrong. He can have an unbelievable NBA career, and I hope he does. If it's on the polls, on any team, I'm going to be his number one fan, grab his jersey, whatever. But it's always going to be attached, and it just sucks.
That's also just the age of the internet that we live in which people are so excited to go run and troll, and, you know, they can get clout for that, which Josh knows nothing about. But, yeah, like we talked about, nationally, that's the legacy of Io, at least right now. Once the dust settles after this tournament ends, we can take a step back and we can look, and everyone can look at what Io did, and draft scouts can certainly look at what Io's done and what he's doing, and then they can, you know, rank him appropriately. But it's hard in the moment.
But, yeah, Josh, to your point, though, about stomaching watching the tournament, we've definitely had a detox over here. I'll admit there have been a couple of times where we have a few TVs and a game will pop on. But, like, then you start watching and then you think about it and you're like, oh, my God, we're not playing anymore. And Oral Roberts is in the Sweet 16. I, like, have to walk away because I'm clenching my fist and I'm nauseated because we're done and we're better than teams. And, like, we can talk about this maybe, like, I don't know who you guys are rooting for the rest of the way. First and foremost, I'm trying to ignore the fact that the tournament is happening.
It's still going on?
It doesn't exist.
First of all, wait, we all agree that this year doesn't count, right, because of COVID? Like, yeah. Asterisk year. Like,
there was an asterisk attached to it.
Right, only the regular season mattered.
Only the Big Ten tournament mattered.
But, yeah, for me, it's like I'm thinking either Baylor or Gonzaga, because definitely not rooting for Michigan. I really can't root for anyone in our Midwest region. Like, watching Rutgers almost make the Sweet 16, I was like, oh, that's cool. Wait a second. No, like, if we had just beaten Loyola, like, it would have been a cakewalk. Obviously, I can't root for Loyola. Hate all of the Loyola fans.
Bad time to be living in Chicago. That walk home from the bar. Man, the Loyola fans really come out of the woodwork. I mean, that was tough. There were some Loyola fans chirping at some Illinois fans. I had to just walk away. I had to zip my coat up and hide my Illinois sweater because I was just not in the mood to even get into it because I couldn't even deal with it in that moment.
Yeah, I'm sure Loyola will find their way into the Big East and it'll be a permanent thing in the years to come. But I think going back to Io's legacy, one thing I've tried to do to make myself feel better is just, like, remind myself that realistically, the odds of us having won the tournament, even if we didn't lose to Loyola, are still, like, not that high. The odds of any given team winning it are not that high. And I know it's not the same, like, losing the round of 32 versus Final Four, but I feel like, and again, maybe it's just, like, me rationalizing it and, like, me trying to make myself feel better. I feel like Io's legacy, at least to us, could still be really, like, how this team and program evolves in the next few years. Like, the big miss after 2005 and after 2013 and any other tournament appearances we've had is, like, we just did not capitalize on that momentum. That was kind of our peak. I really hope, and I think, like, maybe the most important thing for Illinois, if you're assuming we wouldn't have won a national championship this year, is that we actually have, like, a consistent culture. People can buy into this whole Io thing, or, like, we can get top recruits. So that's kind of been my way of rationalizing it, is hopefully that this team actually changed the direction of Illinois basketball and kind of help us bring it back.
I try to get into that, but then I think about we had a first team All-American, second team All-American. We had the sixth man of the year in the Big Ten. Like, I try to think that, yeah, hopefully this set a good, like, base, but, like, it's going to be hard for us ever to get another first team All-American ever again. I hope we do, but, like, it makes me just so depressed because it was set up for this year. And, like, same thing with Iowa. They had their best team ever assembled and they lost. But, like, for us as well, we had probably our best chance to go very far, get back to the Final Four. And I really try to be optimistic and think that recruiting can go well and we can get a all across the board good team. But then I think about we had a first team All-American.
I totally agree with you guys. The stars were aligned for this season in more ways than one. Io came back because of COVID. Kofi also could have tested the draft waters, and we got lucky that we had two All-Americans and one of them who maybe should have been in the NBA. So it'll be really hard to replicate that. I had the exact same thought too of, okay, maybe 10 years from now, I'm going to look back at this loss and say, wow, we overreacted because the program was just trending in the right direction, but we were just so focused on the here and now. But my other thought is, maybe we underreacted because we had the perfect opportunity and we were number two in the AP poll. And, you know, there's just so many possibilities that you kind of can get like your head wrapped up. And I think you just kind of keep going back to, well, we just got to appreciate the great things that we did see from this team and understand that we were lucky to have an awesome college basketball season.
No reaction is big enough because this was the year that it set up. 10 years from now, regardless of if we win the next 9 national championships, you can still point to this year and be like, yeah, this was the year we climbed to number 2 in the AP poll, where we won the Big Ten tournament, where the stars were aligned. We had 2 All-Americans. That'll always be the case. That'll never change. But let's see it as both sides here. Sam, you started by saying that the tournament rewards chaos. We can still do damage. Like, how funny will that be if and when next year we make it farther than the round of 32? The team could be worse next year. The team could be a 5 seed or a 6 seed or whatever, a 4 seed, and you could still make it to the Sweet 16. The tournament rewards cast. It won't be as good of a team. It won't be a team that probably finishes, you know, 1 or 2, whatever you want to call it, in the Big Ten. It wins the Big Ten tournament, but it's still a team that can do damage. And if you want to talk about rewarding chaos, you don't have to be the number 2 team. But yes, I don't think any reaction is big enough or bold enough of reaction, because this was the year, and that's what hurts. That's what hurts.
Sam, I just hope we can finally be on the other end of that and be the 5 seed that goes on a Elite Eight run or a Final Four run. Like, it feels like we're due for that, but we just have not even been close to have that opportunity.
Yeah, the one thing that sucks is you can definitely kind of BS your way deep into the tournament, but at the end of the day, good teams still usually win the tournament. Villanova, Duke, UNC's. Mm-hmm. It's definitely tough to BS your way.
Just give me a chance.
Yeah, there's a 1 in 10 year that Connecticut is going to win as a 5 seed or an 8 seed. Like,
yeah.
Insert point guard.
Kemba, cardiac Kemba.
What? I mean, that sounds a lot like Adam Miller or Andre Curbelo. So see you guys next year.
Yeah, I love already. We're 72 hours removed from the game, but Johnny is already on the bandwagon of we are winning the national championship next year. I love it. The eternal optimist. I do want to address something that I said in our last episode before the Loyola game. I said Cameron Quiltwig has not faced a big man in Kofi Coburn. I said Loyola has not faced an athlete in Io DeSunmu. And I'm kind of eating my dust right now. I'm kind of eating my words because we lost. And if there were any trolls listening to that that were just fed off of that, like, that's fair. That's very true. We lost. But at the same time, that statement still remains the same. Those were still two elite athletes that they had not played a caliber of the entire year. They just did a fantastic job of defending them. They just did a fantastic job of shutting them down, which I think is just the craziest part. They still were extremely elite athletes, all Americans, but they just found a way, and I don't understand the X's and O's quite good enough to just shut them down and have a career day for that team and an uncareer day for our guys.
Yeah, you just have to tip your hat off to Loyola and the game plan that they executed. Porter Moser did an incredible job. Their players, a lot of them are veterans, and they knew exactly what they needed to do. I think Dave Revzin said something interesting was, sometimes an 8 or 9 seed has an advantage on a 116 or on a 1 seed, because the 8 or 9 seed, they only have to prepare for one team. So that like, whenever Selection Sunday is, they know, okay, we're preparing for the 9 seed, but then the other coaches are just scouting the 1 seed versus Illinois scouting Georgia Tech and Loyola. So there's a little bit of a scouting advantage there, but we still just, they punched us, and it was tough for me. I was at the game, and we never had the energy to make a run. They just answered everything. It was just brutal, and just feeling so helpless in there. I don't know about you guys, but I was kind of blaming myself a little bit for the loss, where I was like, oh, well, you know, I didn't stick to certain superstitions. You know, I was wearing contacts instead of glasses because I had to wear a mask, or, we weren't watching in our specific spots. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm like, this is my fault. I let Io down.
Yeah, we were all in different locations. Go ahead, Josh. in a different time zone right now?
I didn't start a clubhouse that morning. We did it on like the last four games. Even for the Big Ten championship, I like pressed start on it while I was there. And then I let it go for maybe 4 seconds just so that I could have said I did it. I forgot to do it on Sunday. So I take the blame a little bit there. Do you guys still have nightmares of Io getting like double teamed up at the top of the key? Because every night I wake up mid sweat thinking Io just break through it.
Well, it's funny you say that. I actually had a nightmare before the Loyola game that we would lose. I didn't want to say anything. It ended up being different in how we lost. It was not a high screen and roll loss. It was a Georgie missing free throws down the stretch. But yes, every once in a while, I will still close my eyes, and I will see Io getting doubled as Kofi leaves the pick and roll, and then he's just backed into a corner. It's a nightmare. Yeah, again, I feel like we're almost at a loss for words right now because it just is a nightmare. None of us thought we'd be sitting here in this position, whether that's a little bit cocky or egotistical. I don't know. I think it was a little justified as a one seed, and we just didn't think that we'd be here. And I think it's funny because I just talked about Georgie missing free throws. This is the one game, Johnny, you said this. I'll give you credit. This is the one game that Kofi made his free throws, yeah. Right? All year we're like, okay, it's going to come down to maybe a hack of Kofi. Is Kofi going to be able to make his free throws? It's going to be tied, or we're going to be down one, or going to be up one with 10 seconds, and Kofi's going to have to sink a pair. And I think he maybe missed his first one and made the rest, and it was just a complete switcheroo of what the season looked like.
Same thing. Kofi wasn't in foul trouble either.
I do love Curbelo. I think it was after Kofi's first missed free throw, he said something to Kofi, and he patted him on the chest, and from there on out, that's the kind of stuff we just did not get under John Gross, that kind of, like, teammate encouragement.
The culture is definitely there.
It's so different.
And that was weird, too. We saw one thing we saw, which was great, was Io lifting Curbelo's chin up after the game, saying, like, keep your head high. At the same time, everyone felt a little uncomfortable watching Io dap up Lucas Williamson, give a couple hugs, and we were talking about it when we got home, which was like, I feel like Io hadn't even processed yet what exactly happened on the court. And I mean, we've talked about it too. We're all in different stages of grief right now. I don't know about you guys. I finally maybe come to certain points of acceptance. Like the first 48 hours was just full on depression. Now it's like, okay, we can live.
I'm starting to bargain a little bit, seeing if we can replay the game, maybe seeing if Loyola cheated or something and they have to call it a no contest. But I'm getting there. I'm getting out of the doldrums, that's for sure.
I'm curious, did you guys have any like tactics or anything you did after the game to kind of de-stress and forget that it happened?
Yeah, it's actually funny. It was a beautiful day. Which part of me, I was so grumpy, I was like, oh, it's a beautiful day. I was like, oh, what is everyone doing? And I went for a walk, and I was like, wait a minute, all these people don't even care about sports. Like, apparently, and this is, someone will have to correct me if I'm wrong, apparently there's other things other than sports? Can someone back me up on that? No, yeah, Johnny, they're all shaking their head, no. I just went on a walk, yeah, Josh.
Heard of that.
Yeah, I know, we need a hobby, oh my gosh. I went for a walk, and I feel like that cleared my head for a little bit, but then I got back home and it was like I had to face the reality, and Johnny was home, and Johnny gives me a hug and he's just like, ah, I'm sorry, Maddie. And I'm like, Johnny, I'm sorry, you were there.
It was a long ride home, let me just say that. That 3 hours back from Indy was just pure sadness. And same thing, I also just went for a walk, and on the walk I was like, you know what, still have to wear the orange and blue, still gotta rock it, because I'm still proud to be an Illini. I'm still so proud of this team despite that game. So I'm still going to face the crowd and face the noise. And what was worse though, was when we were in Indy kind of walking back from the game, you see someone, they're in a Valpo jersey, you're in an Illinois jersey, and they're like, oh, next
Valpo?
Yeah, some random guy in Indianapolis is like, Horizon, oh, next year, up. Guys. And I'm just like, dude, F off, okay?
Yeah, not what you want to be hearing in that moment. Definitely not what you want to be hearing in that moment. Johnny, are there any, just because you were the only one that I know that was there of us, anything you want to like just point out in terms of physically being in attendance?
Okay, for one, it's very spaced out at Banker's Life, and I was seated pretty close to where Robert was, and we were kind of above where the Loyola section was. So it was very deflating when it felt like there were times where their LUC or MVC, whatever their chant was, felt louder. And what just sucked was there was never momentum in the game. I think we never went on a scoring run greater than 4-0 or 5-0. So
four.
I was trying to get myself and everyone else loud and in between timeouts, like start ILL chants, and just everyone was just so shocked and it was just very quiet in that building.
I want to know the X's and O's aspect of how and why Illinois was just so unable to go on any sort of run. How often Illinois, especially the team that loves to run and transition, has been so successful all year in going on these runs. How were they so unable to go on any sort of run beyond two baskets?
I mean, that was one thing that Loyola did a great job of, and I could definitely see from the above ground, which maybe you couldn't see in the camera, but they were really sticking to, other than Krutwig trying to get offensive rebounds, everyone's running back on defense to stop any transition. I mean, we had almost no points in transition, and it was a game plan of limit the points in the transition, give them difficult shots, and then what they did too to stop any run is just score. We couldn't stop them in the second half. They scored like seven out of their next 10 possessions when we cut it to six, and it was just so deflating.
Yeah.
One other thing about these 8-1 games is the 8 seed knows that they have to play so well that they're so focused on executing. Mm-hmm. Like, not to say that we aren't, but like they know that they have to do everything right, so they're just so focused. And these guys were on Loyola, so locked in. But I know I tweeted this, but they executed so well. It was just relentless. It was demoralizing, but huge props to like Adam Miller and Andre Cabrello. Adam Miller especially, that kid would just not give in, which was so tough because it was so demoralizing, especially given what the expectations are in that game.
And I think someone said this, it wasn't, he wanted to win, but it was also like he wanted to win for the seniors. He wanted to win for Io, which that just means so much to us that you care about those guys in that locker room so much. And you earn a lot of brownie points because it's clear that this program matters to you, and you love to see that from players that they care just as much as we do. And in reality, they care a lot more than we do.
They do. There was something so emotional about, there was someone took a video of a bunch of the guys on the team playing like spike ball on the quad the other day. And it's like, look, every college athlete has sacrificed so much. It's not Illinois. It's all these guys. But we're going to talk about our guys because we love Illinois, and this is an Illinois basketball podcast. Seeing them play spike ball on the quad and just being like, yeah, okay, like these guys get to just kind of be college kids for a couple weeks here. They didn't see the light of day. They didn't see their friends or their family. They really didn't get to experience college at all for these last 8 months. They had that. Did you guys see that picture of Georgie on that bike riding away after they got back to Ubbin? That was like, it was hard to hold it in because it was like, that's it. This team will never be together. This nucleus will never be together again. And so I'm happy that these guys are able to just kind of exhale and be college kids. Of course, I'm sure they all would rather be college kids in 2 weeks here hoisting a national championship trophy. But I'm happy that they just get to exhale a little bit and just be kids.
Yeah, I mean, they gave up so much in this COVID season. They pretty much didn't hang out with anyone in the public. It was really, you're locked into basketball, and you cannot risk getting COVID. You cannot risk anything. You're doing all your classes online. I mean, that's as close to being as a professional, and maybe even more difficult than being a professional, and because you still have classes, you still have other commitments.
And shout out to them for not having a single positive case until August. Easier said than done to just stay in a bubble for that long if you're an 18 to 22-year-old kid with all the distractions of college.
Yeah, I mean, we had a ton of pressure in college, and we would go to the bars and like let loose a little bit. These kids never had that opportunity.
They never faltered on the bubble, and it deserves a lot of credit and respect. Go ahead, Josh.
There was something that I noticed a little maturity from my aspect a little bit, because I think, and the season's very much different, but during Brad's first year, I saw Trent out of the bar. We're like 0-8, 0-6 in conference. And I was like, why is he out of the bar? Why isn't he getting shots up at Ubbin? And then after the tournament, I'm really upset. Like, I'm kind of, I initially was a little bit mad about how he played. Everyone was, but I was more happy that they were out. They got to enjoy, like you guys said, enjoy their time not being in quarantine. And they deserve all of the relaxation, all of the credit that they got from an amazing season. But I saw maturity from, I guess, all of us for not being mad that they were out.
Yeah, I remember I might have said this on a previous episode too. We were a few weeks ago watching Underwood mic'd up at practice during his first or second season, and you had like, you know, Mark Smith there, a bunch of other random guys, maybe Spicy G. I might be mixing years together, but, and I remember saying, like, no offense to these guys, but thank God they left, because like they just could not have, like, we needed such a special group to do what we did this year. And like that made it so much better how badly these kids wanted it. Like, I feel like the four of us, we just like did not get that with the teams we had in college. Like, we love Malcolm and we love Andres for being like those standout guys. And it felt like on this team, that was just every single guy.
Yeah. Like, you talk about the character, you talk about the toughness, you talk about the killer instinct that we just did not have, quite frankly. There were some nice guys.
You have a complex with losing, yeah, to quote Brad Underwood. You don't know how to win yet. None of us, including me, have won at the high major level yet. That's my Brad impression. It's not very good, but he was right.
He was totally right. And you look at where this program has come, or where it was and where it's gone. I want to read you guys something that I put together just out of appreciation for Io, which was taking a look at in-state recruiting from 2011 to 2020. You look at the number one player in Illinois every year, 2011, Anthony Davis, 2012, Steve Taylor, 2013, Jabari Parker. Then we got Jahlil Okafor, then Jalen Brunson, then Charles Matthews, Charlie Moore, then Jeremiah Tillman. So we went 7 straight years, number one player in Illinois, not go to Illinois. 2018, the one kid who decides to come to Illinois is Io DeSumo. And then followed by that, E.J. Liddell, DJ Stewart, not going to Illinois. Even the second best player in the state, Wayne Blackshear, Jay Simpson, Kendrick Nunn was the only one out of this group. Cliff Alexander, Charles Matthews, Zach Norvell, Jordan Goodwin, THT, Marquise Jacobs, and then the next second best player to come to Illinois was Adam Miller. So it's great to see that the kids who did come to Illinois were rewarded with a really special season. And it just shows the impact of getting the best player, the second best player in the state, because you heard some of those names. Those are NBA players. Those are guys with great college careers. And I, once again, seeing that list, I'm like, wow, that's Io showing that he's changing, like being different and picking Illinois and trying to turn this program around. And still, I just feel like we let this kid down.
Yeah, it's tough, because I agree with all that. He, quote unquote, brought Illinois basketball back and all of that. And then you take a look and you see round of 32 exit. And it, not to discount any of all that, but it just makes it so much more difficult to swallow, and it's so much less palatable, because at the end of the day, you are judged for what you do in March. That's how it works in sports. How you do in the postseason really is the only thing that matters, and that's what will show on Io's resume, is one tournament experience, one tournament win against Drexel. I'm not advocating or saying whether that's fair or not. That's just what it says, and it's so hard to juxtapose that those two. Because yes, he brought us back, and he did not have to do that. He could have gone to any other school, and I don't think anyone would have batted an eye. And he played incredibly this year. And then you just look at what happened, and it just makes it tough, man. It's just tough.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be the first guy that I think of if and when we end up winning a national title. It'll be, damn, I wish Io was here. And I, like, Brad better mention the fact that Io DeSumo changed his team, Trent Frazier changed the culture, Damonte Williams changed the culture, because anyone who ends up doing something, say in this Brad Underwood era, is standing on the shoulders of giants, when Io is the only player in the state of Illinois in the last 10 years to be the best player and choose to come to Illinois. I mean, it's just going to last with us forever how much he meant to our program. And hopefully that's what his legacy is, mm-hmm. is being the guy who turned it around, kind of like a tragic figure almost.
Johnny, that was really good.
It's poetic.
That was really, Johnny, that was really good. I was thinking of you standing on the shoulders of Io and all the people that build the culture. That was some good stuff. We're not going to be able to do this right now. I want to be able to celebrate this season and sort of like, I don't know, but I'm a big Seinfeld fan, okay? And there's the
How
holiday
that
Jordan...
How old are you?
I like old TV shows. George Costanza's dad comes up with a holiday called Festivus, where you celebrate things that people don't know, how, like you don't really celebrate. But part of Festivus is the airing of grievances, okay? Do you guys have grievances that you've saw from maybe since we have a good pulse on Illini Nation that you saw? I want to kick it off with one. I don't even know his name. It's the reporter of some newspaper out in, I think, Naperville or Elgin. He said that Underwood... you're the worst. Don't give this guy clicks. But he said that Porter Moser should be hired and Brad should be fired.
I'm just reading breaking news right now. It says that Porter is leaving the bubble to take the Illinois job, and Brad has just been fired. Oh my God. This is, you cannot time this up better. You're doing exactly what he wanted.
He's sitting on a hot fire of coals.
By the way,
he's sitting on a hot fire of coals right
now. Airing grievances is like a professional way of saying shitting on other people, just so everyone's on
We keep it classy here. Yeah. The Ohio State game, first Ohio State game, he was out of bounds. It should have been our ball. I wanted to sweep Ohio State in all three games. Does that count as a grievance? Is that a good grievance?
That's a grievance.
Okay. Flagrant one against Kofi again in the Missouri game.
Yeah, there we go. These are good.
Flagrant against Mulcahy. We've got notes. Okay. But yeah, I mean the Porter Moser one is just so ridiculous. Yeah.
Josh, one game matters.
Yeah, exactly. Josh Whitman's gonna fire Brad Underwood after going 19-4 in the Big Ten. That sounds very
after having the most wins in the Big Ten in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Yeah. Bit of a rash decision.
But in terms of airing grievances against the fan base, I am going to push back at the people who say everything is fine. Like, we just witnessed one of the worst tournament losses in program history, and we have seen what happened in 2005. You can't just assume recruiting is going to be fine.
89.
I know this is harsh, but the fact of the matter is that nothing is certain, and you can't appreciate what this team did without acknowledging the fact that we had a golden opportunity, and unfortunately, things didn't go our way.
Yeah, not to add fuel to the fire, but one thing I was going to say is it already, like, I think we have two not top 95 recruits, 97 and 98, I think, Luke and RJR. We have the 217th best recruit in 2022. I know he's due for an upgrade, but I already feel like it's like I wish we could hit the ground running even more.
The clock is still ticking. The clock is still ticking. And hopefully we get Namari. Hopefully we get a Ty Ty or any of the bigs. But at the same time, we know how this recruiting game works. And we've seen in the last day not the best news come out with those different guys. So until something's a sure thing and someone's signed, you really don't know.
I can't even do recruiting right now. That I don't know which one of you posted that meme about the recruiting with the big boat and the small boat. I know it's not good. Of course you did, Josh. I know this is not good radio right now. Just go and look at it. Describing memes over audio. But I can't even, like, do it right now, man. I can barely do school and work and life. And, you know, recruiting right now, it feels like we're cheating on someone, that we have to still be sulking and summer. I know the coaching staff absolutely should be recruiting, but I can't get myself to be reading these recruiting notes and all this stuff, and I can't do it, because in the back of my mind I'm like, does it even matter? Like, who cares if we get these guys? Like, we just saw what happened when we get all these studs and you don't even win, so who cares? And I know that's very pessimistic, scorched earth of me, but it's like, wow, we're just gonna flip like that to the next year? Like, again, can we just talk about what happened, this golden opportunity, and people are already on to the next one?
Or spring ball.
Yeah, spring ball anywhere. So, all right, let's get into spring ball. So what did you guys see from the first day? The DBs were looking really sharp. I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. Sidney Brown and someone else, they were in green jerseys, so they were only unlimited. It's sad because I'm still reading that information, but it's so hard to get yourself invested in. Even knowing, I would love for this team to go above 500. We know this is probably a 4-win football.
You're not winning
season.
A natty. Like, you're not winning a natty in football this year.
And even if this was like an above, if this team went 5-4 in the Big Ten, that would be awesome. I still can't get that excited for that right now, because all I can think about is we could have made a Final Four. We could have won a national championship. And
I have a fun game to play.
Yeah.
Name the let's all name a scholarship linebacker right now.
Tariq
that's
Barnes.
Practicing in spring ball.
Oh, well, that's not fair.
Not practicing.
Mark Mondesir.
Line?
Calvin Hart.
I think he's
junior.
On the D-line. Yeah, Calvin Hart Jr.
No, Mark Mondesir's repping with Andy Boo. Then we've got everyone else is injured pretty much.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just very sad thinking about it. And
Isaac Dark Angelo, the Dark Angel.
And it's also a reason why I can't get into football right now. It's just because there's a massive like hole in an area that's very, very important. I know they'll figure it out, but that's also we lost our game.
I think my favorite
way to get happy.
My favorite football distraction has been that one kid who tweeted out all the texts that he got from the different coaches. And
why didn't he show mine? We're supposed to tweet at recruits. I thought we're supposed to tweet at recruits.
Wait,
why didn't
Calvin Hart not practicing?
He is. He is practicing. Okay. But my favorite text was from Coach Kane, who said, go fall someone hard early and set the tone. That's just, you're such a football guy. And even though this kid's playing basketball, advocating for being physical,
yeah,
I love
get aggressive.
It.
Yeah, I love it. I
His
love
wife
it.
Called him out on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Look at us laughing about spring ball, laughing about Illini football like nothing happened. Right, guys? Just getting the gang back together. Would you guys say you feel a little bit better now than when we started recording this evening?
A little bit.
No.
I have a question for you guys. Is do you have any book recommendations or any recommendations for things to do during
media guide
the Sweet
from this
16
year?
Or Elite 8? Because I do not intend on watching games because it will just be frustrating and bad for my health.
Oh, man.
Did you guys see the meme of LeBron getting exposed where whenever he's reading a book, he's always on the
first page? Yeah. Well, you know, that's the best page that you start with the best stuff, so there's no really need to read past the first page. But
well,
in terms of book recommendations...
During the Sweet 16, each of us will put a different like tweet of us reading a first page of the book. But also, if anyone is listening and has actually something interesting for us to do, please let us
like
know.
Like a hobby?
We have Howard Griffith's book, but it's really expensive.
Yeah. Maybe like, I don't know, like learning how to tie knots, maybe sailing, maybe a little bird watching... Woodwork.
Today I've finally opened up the possibility of watching baseball in like a couple of weeks. I'm like, okay, I can stomach that. But for a while, all sports were off the table. That being said, outdoor activities would be great. Something where I could also, I'm thinking about getting rid of like different social media too. Just a real detox would be great right now.
You're looking for an outdoor activity? Well, there's this new sport guy by the name of Dr. James Naismith invented.
Oh,
you're
going to
love it.
Oh, no.
It involves two peach baskets, one deflated. What do you think they used back in 18 whatever when they created basketball like in 1861 there in Ontario, like a pig?
No, I think that was football pig skin.
Yeah,
there.
That makes sense. Yeah. This is really exciting. This shows are just.
Outside
of sports. This show is just our range.
Do you guys think that you're going to get into, like, say the Bulls have, let's just, like, kind of, like, laugh at this, but if the Bulls have a deep playoff run, you're going to get into it? I don't even think I can. I'm just going to be so annoyed that.
There's part of me that's going to be like, oh, this is a distraction, and then I'm going to be like, wait, this is basketball.
Wait a minute.
Exactly.
Basketball is played by Ayo Dosunmu.
Go ahead, Josh.
I have said like basketball season's over like so many times just as in my depressed thoughts out loud. And my dad hears it and he goes, "It's not over. The Bulls are playing." And I'm just like, "No, I don't care. Like I can't watch basketball
right now."
Yeah, there's
three more months of basketball. We will get through this, us three, all of Illini Nation. We will get through this. Real
first
quick.
Four of us.
All three of us outside of myself. You know, whatever. You know I'm good at math. Real quick, before we get out of here, I do just want to say a quick thank you to everyone who has been listening to this first season, I guess if you want to call it, of the board. And we had absolutely no idea what we were getting ourselves into, what the reaction would be when we started this podcast, and it has been overwhelmingly positive and amazing to hear from you all, to chat with guests, to really just feel like we have our own, even just tiny little carved out niche here in Illini Nation. And truly, from the bottom of our hearts, we really do appreciate it. And, you know, if you want to rate, if you want to review, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, if you haven't, by all means, go ahead. But truly, truly, we really, really, really do appreciate it. This is not the last of our podcast just because the season is ending. We're going to have some guests. We'll have some off-season stuff. We're not going anywhere. But truly, thank you.
And I also want to thank the team because it was a great distraction during the pandemic. I don't know about you guys, but it was something where this could be the thing that you were thinking about in August, September, October, when Io and Kofi said they're coming back, it was locked in on this basketball season and thinking about the possibilities. And I don't know about you guys, I have a long list of things that I do need to do. Like, I need to do my taxes. I need to do a few different things that I was putting off because you're so locked in mentally, emotionally into this basketball team. So I appreciate them during the pandemic, it's been a very challenging time for all of us, yes. And they gave us an amazing distraction.
Yeah, absolutely. And we hope we could provide you a little distraction as well. We're not going anywhere.
Couldn't agree more. I just want to say thank you guys again for listening. Yes. It's been awesome being able to talk.
As John Gross told us seniors after we lost Miami, God. Appreciate the buy-in.
What happened after that, though? We won't have to talk about it.
Nah.
We're coming back for another year. We're not going anywhere. We're not declaring. We'll be back. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Catch you on the next episode of The Boardroom. Bye.